Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Baseball season has arrived, and Bear Pets Podcast is here to preview it here. Myself, Jeff Schwartz, I'm the host of the Flippin' Bats Podcast. Ben Verlander, make sure you check that podcast out for a whole lot more than what we'll be getting into here. But I guess we'll just dive right into it and start in the division of the reigning World Series champions, the American League West, where Texas did not win a great divisional battle last year with the Astros and Rangers, where ultimately the Rangers did not win the division, but they did get the grand prize at the end. I guess we're kind of right where we were last year between the Rangers and the Astros for this division, right?
Yeah, I think this year in the AL West, you're going to have two juggernauts at the top, but I'm going to throw a third in there. I'm higher on the Mariners than I think most people are this year, and it's simple. Over the course of 162, when you can have a rotation as good as the Seattle Mariners is going to be 1 through 5 with Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, and Brian Wu coming in at some point out, you know, most nights they're going to have a chance to win. So I see this as a 3-team race as it was last year in the division. But I think both teams at the top in terms of the Astros and the Rangers have some pitching problems right now in terms of injuries. Max Scherzer, Jacob DeGrom with the Rangers out until at least the second half. But whenever I hear DeGrom injury news, I never really feel confident that the timetable is what it is or that he's going to pitch at any point. And then the Astros are dealing with some injuries, but Justin's going to be back early in April at some point. So I'm a little less concerned with the Astros rotation. And that's why I like them in the American League West this year. Again,
do you think Hunter Brown could be a guy that really kind of takes a little bit of a step forward this year?
I think last year was big for him. I think he ran out of steam a little bit towards the end of the year with all those innings for the first time in his career. Really, his stuff plays in the big leagues. He's proven that. He's nasty. It's just a matter of can he do it for 150, 200 innings. And I think last year will be vital. I do think he can have a really good year for them. And hopefully when it comes time for that playoff push, he's still a big factor in that rotation. He needs to be. Their rotation isn't set up to be super deep.
So do you think if the Rangers sort of start slow before their pitching comes back, is there an opportunity midseason, you think, to take them at a better number to win the division, assuming that they get their starting pitching back at some point?
Absolutely. I think this division is going to wind up being super close. And we saw it last year with the Rangers. They're a very streaky team, right? And that's why they won the World Series. They were streaking at the right time in the right direction in October and early November and went on to win the World Series, and nobody was going to get in their way. But we saw it during the regular season last year. They would be really good and then really bad. And there were opportunities last year, I feel like, to buy low on a team that offensively is one of the best offenses in baseball and only learned in the playoffs how to win in the biggest moments. And I actually I think their offense is going to be even better this year with Wyatt Langford in making the opening day roster. He's going to hit third or fifth in that lineup, according to their manager. Crazy. So absolutely. I think second half Rangers are going to be a much better team than first half Rangers.
How important, sorry, Barrett, just one
question. Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
How important is a Bruce Bochy to a team, right? He's won 4 World Series now. They tend to play better, his teams do, at the end of the season than the start of the season. How important is that at all, managers, to handicapping the success of a baseball team? Maybe not in the regular season, but in the postseason.
I think what the value that managers bring to a baseball team, there's two different things. There's a regular season manager and there's a postseason manager. And a regular season manager, it's not really about pushing the right buttons at every single step. There's 162 games. At that point, it becomes more of an understanding of how to deal with your players, when to give them rest, when to not listen to them, when to listen to them. And a guy like Bruce Bochy is going to command a locker room. And then come playoff time, it becomes about X's and O's and not pushing the panic button. How many times have we seen managers push the panic button in the playoffs? It happens every year. I feel like Dave Roberts has done it a few times. Kevin Cash with the Rays when he pulled Blake Snell. Managers just become different in the playoffs. And Bruce Bochy is a guy that's going to handle the regular season well. And come playoff time, every single guy on that roster is going to trust every single decision that he's going to make. And honestly, that is extremely valuable for a team. And that is a big advantage. Now that you bring it up, Jeff, that's a big advantage for the Rangers this year in that division. Is the Astros don't have a Dusty Baker type presence in that locker room, an old veteran manager that is going to be a Hall of Famer, or one of the new young bright managers in the game of baseball, and AJ Hinch. He's not there anymore. None of them are. So now you have Joe Espada, who's really just a question mark in my mind. And Bruce Bochy, on the other hand, is an all-time great.
All right, from one extreme to the other here in that division, tell me, am I crazy for betting the Oakland A's over 57.5 wins, and do they have a chance to not finish in the cellar with how bad that Angels team looks on paper?
Well, those are two different questions that are going to get two different answers. Do they have a chance to not finish in the cellar? No, they are going to finish in the cellar. Do they have a chance to go over their win total? Yes. There are Mason Miller in that rotation is nasty. Geloff in the infield is going to be really good. They have some pieces that I'm excited about, but man, it is just so bad. And the reason I wouldn't feel super comfortable with that over number is it's because it's not just about the roster that they're putting together that do have some pieces I'm excited about. It's going to be the vibe. And there is so much negativity around this team and around this organization. And that gets to players. It does. There's going to be nobody in the stands. Everybody's going to be talking about how bad they are. Everyone's going to be talking about how the Oakland A's Twitter account won't even turn on their comments because they're so embarrassed about what's going to be said. It's a joke, for lack of a better term, what's going on up there. And do they have some good pieces? Sure. Do I feel confident that they're going to be able to win close to 60 games? I don't.
50-112 last year, so you need an 8-game improvement to get there. So we'll see what happens. In the Central, doesn't it feel like it's kind of like anybody could – well, I shouldn't say doesn't. Does it feel to you like anybody but the White Sox could win that division? I mean, Cleveland, their rotation should be better. Bieber looks like he's reborn in the spring. The Tigers are a very trendy team. The Royals people think have had a nice spring. The Twins on paper probably are the best team, but they've had some unfortunate injuries in spring training. Losing that closer for a while could be problematic. Are the Twins still the clear favorite, or could the Tigers, Guardians, or Royals wind up winning this thing?
I think the gap has narrowed from the Twins and pretty much everybody else in that division besides the White Sox, like you said. I still think the Twins should be and are the favorite for a reason to win this division. I would love to say that the Tigers are going to win it. I love the Tigers. I will always root for my former organization and my brother's former organization. But I just don't know if offensively, the more and more you need to rely on a Javi Baez in that lineup, the more and more I'm going to be concerned with that. Their lineup's just not there. I love the Tigers' rotation. I think Tarek Skubal could win a Cy Young Award this year. That's how good he is. The guy's throwing 100 from the left side. Very similarly with the Royals, you got Cole Reagans, who's doing the same sort of stuff. The Royals completely revamped their team. And do I think they're going to be a playoff team? I don't. Do I think they're going to win the division? I don't. But it wouldn't surprise me if they're close and in contention. And like you said, with the Guardians, Bieber and McKenzie, Tristan McKenzie was injured. And every time he's pitched in the big leagues for an extended period of time, he's been great. So you have that rotation in a weaker division. They're going to be able to contend as well. I do still like the Twins. I think far and away the best roster, the best offense. Royce Lewis, I think, is going to prove that he is a stud and I think an all-star in this league. So I would have the Twins winning this division, though I would love for it to be the Tigers.
You mentioned the additions to the Royals. They're plus 900 to win the division. Is that a wager worth putting some money on, even though if you think they might not win it? But plus 900 for a team that you think, okay, they've improved a little bit, maybe they can get there, a division that's maybe open. Is it worth putting any of that money on the Royals there?
I think the Royals have improved a lot, to be honest. I know they were a really bad team last year, but we're talking about the AL Central. And if we're talking any other division with this Royals team, I would say there's no point. But there is here. I do believe the Twins are a good team and going to win the division, but they're an injury or two away, which, by the way, I think two of their best players this year are going to be and could be Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa, and they need Correa to step up. And those two guys, both of them, are very injury prone. So next thing you know, if you get one or two of those guys going down, next thing you know, that opens up the entire division. And with a completely revamped team for the Royals, I know they redid their entire offense. They went out and added Hunter Renfro, Vinny Pasquantino, pride of Old Dominion University, going to be over there and back at first base. Reagan's on the mound, I think, could push for a Cy Young Award. So I do. I like the Royals. And at plus 900, look, this division is very weak, and it can be anybody's for the taking, especially with an injury or two to that Twins lineup. So, yeah.
And it feels like that might be the play. I don't think there's a wild card coming out of this division with how you've got the Rangers and the Astros in the West, and then Yankees, Blue Jays, and Orioles in the East. Is much hype as there is around Baltimore with how great they were in the spring. Do we and how well they kind of maybe emerged a year early last year? Like, are you concerned at all that it might be too much too soon for them, or could this really be a special year for the Orioles?
I think this is a special year. I was a little frustrated with the organization for probably a year and a half, where it just felt like the writing was on the wall for this young core of guys to take the organization and go forward. But they were missing that ace of the rotation, and they got that. And the Corbin Burnes addition is going to be huge for them. I do have some, the only concern I have with this Orioles team, because I think the lineup is going to be outstanding. I think Jackson Holliday, though I'm frustrated he didn't make the opening day roster, is going to come up pretty quickly and make a big difference for that team. I love the lineup. I love the rotation. Back into the bullpen without Felix Bautista back there. Yennier Cano was not very good at the end of the year last year. Craig Kimbrell, I haven't had confidence in since he was an Atlanta Brave. So I have some concerns with that bullpen, but I love this Orioles team. And I think the addition of Corbin Burnes is exactly what they need. And Grayson Rodriguez, Kyle Bradish, when he comes back, they could be one of the top five rotations in baseball.
Is there concern about Mullins? Is he going to be, he's okay for your opening day, right?
Yeah. He's going to be okay. Yeah.
Is Jackson Holliday plus 400 plus 450 good wager to win AL Rookie of the Year? I know he's down the minors, but they'll call him up after that, 2-week period, and sort of have to wait to bring him up.
It's a great bet, in my opinion. One, because when it comes to Rookie of the Year bets and stuff like that, hype means a lot. And this guy has more hype than anyone. The game of baseball wants him to be great, needs him to be great. He is going to be great. The guy's a stud. And look, does it suck that he got sent down and is going to start the year in AAA? Yes, but he's going to be up fairly quickly. He's going to be on the Orioles team for the majority of the season. I think he's going to be really good. There's some good competition in the American League for Rookie of the Year this year. Evan Carter is classified as a rookie. This will be his first full rookie season. Wyatt Langford's going to be great. There's just talent all around in the American League. But I think Jackson Holliday is a great bet.
And I even put a little pizza money on Curtis Meade at 60-1, being that he actually made the roster, and with all the injuries that the Rays have, he's got some opportunities there. So you can bet the favorites, but I figured I went 60-1. I thought was a little bit of a rogue number for someone who wound up cracking the roster as well. So in the East, is it Yankees second? Is it Blue Jays? Like, are the Blue Jays kind of the forgotten team now because they didn't land Ohtani? Who knows when they're going to get Alec Manoah back? George Springer certainly not the most durable guy, but it still feels like that Blue Jays lineup's going to be really, really good, and some of the pieces that they have in that pen are good.
Yeah, the Blue Jays frustrate me, and it's because you're in a division where you can't afford to be good. You have to be great in that division. Now that we're talking the Orioles being as good as they are, the Rays on paper every single year look like a 500 team and end up making the playoffs and end up being great. So let's count on them being good. The Yankees are going to be much better this year. So when it came time for the offseason, the Blue Jays have a rotation that is one of the top rotations in baseball. I mean, it's a top three rotation in baseball, but they do need, in my opinion, Alek Manoah to be back to Cy Young form. And I don't know if we're going to get that. That's a question mark. But it just felt like going into this offseason, you needed to make a big move. You needed to do something. You needed to make a great move. And they were doing that. They were in talks with that. They were close on Ohtani. It was down to them and the Dodgers. And they had all of that money. And what did they do with it? What, all of that money that they were prepared to go all in for Shohei for and improve their team, what did they do with that money? Justin Turner? Is that that's the move that's going to make them great? I like Justin Turner. He's a really good addition and can DH and can play third base when you need him to. But where's the move that keeps up with the Orioles in the division? I don't see them winning the division. I'm a bit frustrated by their lack of making that key move over the last couple of years that I think could put them from good to great. And it's just been, in my opinion, a bit of a frustrating offseason if you're a Blue Jays fan. But I love the rotation, so they're going to compete for sure.
Are the Red Sox going to be as bad as people predict them to be? Didn't do much this offseason. Sort of the same boat as the Blue Jays. They thought they would do a lot and I'm not doing a lot, traded some pieces away. Are they going to be as bad as people project?
Awful. And we're going to get to see it all on a Netflix documentary. Yeah, they're going to be bad. And the one big addition they made aside, you know, Tyler O'Neill is an outfielder that will help them and, you know, hopefully have a good year. But you added Lucas Giolito to the rotation amidst everybody in Red Sox Nation saying, what is this? What are we doing? How is this team? We had the possibility of having Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, and Rafael Devers in our lineup for a decade, and you screwed it up. And now what are we doing? And John Henry was getting so much flack from everybody, as he should have, and the move he ended up making and that the organization made was Lucas Giolito. I like Lucas Giolito a lot as a person, as a pitcher, but he's not that move that's going to change everything. And then he goes down and he's not going to throw a single pitch for your team this year. And we're going to watch everything unfold on that new Netflix documentary. And it is going to be an absolute fiasco in Boston this year.
Nothing like a train wreck being televised live. For our viewing pleasure. Yankees obviously made the big move bringing in, so they had to after last year, trotting that lineup that they and Aaron Hicks and the people they were throwing out in the outfield, yep. Something had to be done. Soto did not have a fantastic year last year in San Diego. He came on late. Do we think he's going to have a huge year? Is he going to be one of those guys that the list is long that get to New York and are like, yeah, this isn't for me.
I think he has a huge year. I really do. I think he is, and you look at the numbers at the end of the year, and we can say, and you're right, by his standards, Juan Soto didn't have a great year last year. But by the rest of the league standards, you look at that OPS at the end of the year, and I do get tired talking OPS with Juan Soto because I'm tired of him walking so much. And that's part of what he does. Yep. I get it. He's an all-time great, and he's going to be. But I want to see Juan Soto swing the bat. And this is why I think he's going to be good. One, I think he's going to love playing in New York City from the Dominican Republic. I think that's going to matter for him. I think there's a lot of Dominican Republic. I think they're going to see a lot of people at the game that are from the Dominican. And that culture is going to be vibrant there in Yankee Stadium. And I think no matter where he's been, whether it be the Nationals while winning the World Series, or whether it be with the Padres having extreme talent around him in that lineup, he has never had protection in a lineup quite like Aaron Judge. If Aaron Judge is healthy and doing Aaron Judge things behind him, you have to pitch to Juan Soto. You just have to. You're not going to walk both of them. You're not going to want to pitch to both of them. So Juan Soto is going to get better pitches to hit this year. I think he's going to be a little more active at the plate and swinging a little bit earlier. And that short porch and right, I do think Juan Soto has a huge year this year.
What goes into the way that you look at Cy Young winners? Like what things do you look for from previous years, projecting into this year, for you to make your picks on those guys?
stuff for me. A lot of times when it comes down to who wins the Cy Young Award, I think the voters ultimately look a lot at an ERA in that year, plus strikeout numbers and stuff like that. So when I'm looking for a Cy Young Award winner in the year following, I look back at numbers and say, okay, who has great stuff that might have not put together the best ERA? And for me, I know it's a chalk pick in the National League, but Spencer Strider's an easy one just sitting right there. That guy could strike out close to 300 people this year. And he had a little bit of an elevated ERA last year, and I think that does come down this year. And then on the other side of things, again, I'll go back to stuff. Tarek Skubal, Cole Reagans both throw 100 miles an hour from the left side and are going to be nasty and I think can put together a full season. So when you look at Cy Young, it's about innings, in my opinion, pitching for your team. Most every fifth day going out there, getting close to that 200 inning mark. Strikeouts and ERA is going to be a big part of it. I do think wins and losses are getting a bit more pushed out in terms of voters. But again, we're talking baseball writers here that are very old school in the way that they vote, and they love their wins, they love their ERA, and they love their strikeouts.
And that was the entire deal last year with the whole the battle between Strider and Webb and Steele and Snell, who ultimately went out. And like you look at Snell's advanced stuff, and like it was like a historical outlier in terms of like walk rate and strand. Like it was, and then you had Strider who had historical strikeout numbers, but he had what the ERA, what 3.9 or whatever. Yep. It like he was not going to win the Cy Young with an ERA of 3.9, even though everything else blew Blake Snell away. So you're right with that. The thing that stinks with like these award markets in terms of like certainly the Cy Young, like Skubal is someone I wanted to play like before I even saw the numbers. And I see he's like 10-1, 12-1. I'm like, yeah. Is that really worth playing? I'm like, but it might be, especially in the American League. Two guys, and you mentioned one of them already. I did make two American League MVP bets. I played Jose Ramirez at 25-1, and I did play Royce Lewis at 35-1 because what he did in the time that you don't want to call him like Brian Buxton the second, but in terms of like how little he's on the field, but if Lewis can stay on the field with what he did in what 270 at bats, whatever it was last year, and then he could be really special.
Yeah, I like him a lot. It's always been injuries for him. Whenever he's healthy, and we saw it in the playoffs, when he's healthy, he's dynamic. And I just want to see a full, healthy season. That's why I think it's a good bet, because if you were to tell me right now that we're going to get 150-plus games of Royce Lewis in 2024, then we're talking, okay, well, this guy can put up MVP numbers. So I think that number for a guy that has the talent that Royce Lewis has is honestly great.
Do you have an AL pick? Have you picked your winner of the AL yet?
My pick for AL MVP is Juan Soto, because of the protection in that lineup, because I think he's going to thrive in New York. If I were to dive a little bit deeper, I do think there's some really good value on Adley Rutschman. I think voters love catchers, one. I think the fact that Adley plays as much as he does as a catcher for a team that's going to be very, very good and potentially the top seed in the American League again. And I think he just continues to improve. He's still so young. He's so good. He plays most every day as a catcher, and I think he's going to put up some good numbers. So there's some value there. And I do like Julio this year as well out of Seattle. And that's honestly why I'm a bit higher on Seattle this year, because they have the rotation, and I think Julio could put together his first MVP season.
Certainly would not be a surprise with how he just emerged on the scene for sure. Moving on over to the National League now. Everyone, obviously, Dodgers, highest win total in baseball, shortest price to win the series, and a massive favorite to win the division in the NL West. The first thing when you talk about the Dodgers, you have to bring it up now with the story about Ohtani. Like, do we think that there's going to be any repercussion throughout the course of the year, where maybe could there be a suspension? Could something happen where maybe we move the Padres or the Giants up in, or the Diamondbacks up, and it's not right now reflected in their win total? Do we think there's anything potentially coming down the road that could? It's kind of ironic that we're talking about, for maybe from a betting standpoint, we could bet the Padres yeah. over, the Giants over, the D-backs over, because the Dodgers may suffer. Do we think there's anything like that that could happen?
I don't foresee it happening, but again, all I know to this point is exactly what's out there. But even in a world in which that happens, that lineup is still so good. It's an unbelievable lineup. It's an unbelievable lineup with Shohei in it. I'm excited to watch him. You know, I know he's not pitching this year. I am so excited to see him in that lineup, sandwiched between Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. They really are unbelievable. And the odds for the Dodgers to win the division are insane. And the Dodgers, in my opinion, are going to win that division. But right. Everyone else just keeps getting better and better and better. The Giants improved so much this offseason. The Diamondbacks continue to improve down to yesterday when they signed Jordan Montgomery. It's just everybody else is getting good. The gap might be narrowing a bit from what it was at the, you know, after they signed Shohei and Yamamoto, but I still think they're by far the best team.
I just want to make it known, the Dodgers have won exactly one championship since 1988, and it was the year they had the bubble. So just want to make that known. I am a Giants fan, Ben, by the way. So I want to make everyone know the Dodgers, every year we keep hearing this, they're winning the World Series, everyone. They're going to do it, and they never do it. So I just want to make it clear that something's going to go wrong in the postseason. I don't know what it's going to be, and it's going to make me very happy, Ben. Can I rely on the Dodgers screwing this up somehow in the postseason?
Well, you pull out that number of one championships. I can also add to that they have won exactly one playoff game in the last 2 years. So it hasn't gone well in the playoffs. And winning in baseball is not about winning over the course of 162. If you were to tell me right now that the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to have the most amount of wins in the regular season, I would say, great, that is not a shock at all. If you were to tell me the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to win the World Series, I would say that is a bit of a shock because they don't know how to win in October right now. And whether that be the lineup just going cold or getting a little tight, I wouldn't expect the playoffs to start and Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman have the same October they did again as they did last year. I just wouldn't. But I don't know if they're accustomed to – I think it might be in their heads a little bit at this point. At this point, the last couple of years, they keep getting knocked out by NL West teams. It was the Padres. It was the Diamondbacks. Who's next? The Rockies? Are the Rockies going to get in and knock them out this year? I mean, it does get a bit ridiculous come October, and I don't know how they get over that hump, but this team is certainly a juggernaut. It just comes down to, in October, Can you win those games in a best-of-five and a best-of-seven series? And the blueprint to win in October does become different. The Dodgers have the blueprint from April to the beginning of October. They don't have the October blueprint. They just don't right now.
And that's one of the reasons why on FoxSports.com, I did a couple of baseball picks as well for the World Series. And I know, Jeff, this is like unprovoked and unsolicited.
The Giants pitching, they got it.
I took the Giants at 45-1 to win the World Series, 20-something to 1 to win the NL. That rotation in the postseason. I mean, look, we don't know they're necessarily going to stay healthy, but if you're trotting Snell, Webb, Harrison, and Hicks out there before you even get to Duvall in the back end, you know, the lineup isn't great, but you know, Farhan will figure it out and make whatever moves they need to. Like, the Giants feel like the type of team that will be built to win a bunch of short series.
The Giants are the team that can win in October. That's the blueprint to win in October. A name you didn't even mention there with the rotation is a name that's supposed to be coming back, Robbie Ray. Another name that wasn't mentioned, Kyle Harrison, going to be nasty for them in that rotation. I like the way they are built. They are a team that is specifically built to win in October. Having some studs in the rotation, having some offensive players with them, some thump that can hit the ball out of the yard and put up some runs in a hurry. The Dodgers are built to win in the regular season, not in October. It's a different script with the Giants. They're built to win in October. I do believe that. It's just a matter of if they get there or not. If they get there, they're a dangerous team. But who knows if they're going to be able to get there over the course of the regular season.
Can Arizona do the same thing they did last year? I think in baseball, we see a lot of times the teams, you know, they come out of nowhere and sort of drop back the next year. Can Arizona sort of keep up the momentum from last season?
Yeah, I do. I have them as that sixth and final playoff team for me. I do have them getting in. Their win total this year is right around what their win total wound up last year. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, this team was an NL champion and got to the World Series and they're going to be a juggernaut in the league this year. I think they improved. I think they improved big time. I think the addition of Suarez over at third base, Evan Longoria was no longer the Evan Longoria that everybody knows from Tampa. Yeah. So having Suarez over at third base, having Jock Peterson add some thump into that lineup, having a rotation that added Eduardo Rodriguez and now Jordan Montgomery to a rotation with Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. Now we're talking one of the best rotations in baseball. I do believe they are going to be good. It's going to be tough to keep up with the Dodgers in that division, but I think they can get in. And when it comes to baseball, if you can get in and you have that blueprint set, which is have two dominant starters and a third that is very serviceable, and then a lineup that's capable of putting up some runs, that's how you win in the playoffs. And they have that team that they certainly could make a run again.
So we're going through the opening day slate. I had to do a double take when I saw that Frankie Montas was the opening day starter for the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds just made a run last year, got super hot. Baseball was the story again in Cincinnati, which is a great baseball city when the Reds are good. Eli De La Cruz coming up. And then he kind of died down a little late in the year in his rookie year. So should we temper the expectations with the Reds this year? Or is this a team that what we saw in like July, late June, July, August, before kind of the late season? So like, do we think the Reds are kind of, I don't want to say they're like the Orioles where we have so much hope, but are the Reds the team to beat in that division, or a team like the Cubs or even the Brewers, who I think, even though they traded Burns, still got some pieces?
I have done the complete opposite of temper my expectations with the Reds. I am so high on them this year. I love the Reds. I have the Reds winning the NL Central. I think that rotation, that, like you said, their opening day starter is Frankie Montas, but the second he was named the opening day starter, he went to Hunter Green and said, "You're going to be the opening day starter for a long time to come here. You're better than I am. You're nastier than I am. Use this as motivation." I think that's the leader you need at the top of a really young rotation. Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo is going to come back. Martinez, Abbott, Ashcraft, they are nasty. They have the potential to be one of the best rotations in baseball if they stay healthy. And that's rotation-wise. And that's why I like them to win the Central. But offensively, yes, I know the Matt McClain injury really hurts. And he ended up, it was just announced, he got surgery on his left labrum this morning, which is I don't know when the surgery was, but it was announced this morning. It's a nightmare for a baseball player to be talking about labrum. That's always tough. But this lineup with Eli De La Cruz, who I do believe is going to take a big step forward, Will Benson in the outfield, Christian Encarnacion Strand over at first base, they have a lot of really young, unproven talent that I really believe in. And I really do like this pick a lot for the Cincinnati Reds to win the NL Central. I've been on them for a few months now, and they've been dealing with injury after injury over the last couple of weeks and trying to deter me, but it ain't going to deter me. I'm sticking with it.
Would you then also correlate that with a David Bell plus 800 for NL Manager of the Year? Would you put those two together? Because if they win the division, I have to imagine he's going to be up there to win NL Manager of the Year as well.
I think that's a very solid choice. And what we've seen from the voters over the last couple of years is they've sort of gone away from that Brian Snitker pick. The Braves won 104 games. Let's pick Brian Snitker with an offense of Ronald Acuna, Matt Olson, Austin Riley, Michael Harris II to win the division. This is no slight at all to Brian Snitker. But if you give me that lineup, I could win the regular season with the Atlanta Braves. I'm not saying I would know what to do in the playoffs. I'm not saying I'm able to do what Brian Snitker is able to do, but you give me that lineup, I could win the NL East with the Atlanta Braves. That's how good that lineup is. And last year they showed that that's not how the voting is going to shake out. So I think if you have a team like the Cincinnati Reds who overperformed their expectations and win the NL Central and get into the playoffs, they're going to look at a guy like David Bell to win the Manager of the Year award. I do like that a lot.
Speaking of Ryan Snitker and the Atlanta Braves, your favorite to win the NL East. And again, another postseason disappointment last year. Bats went cold against Philly, losing to the Phillies in that series. Are they kind of headed toward, I mean, they did win the World Series a few years ago, so it's not like we're completing writing this franchise off, but are the last couple of years kind of give a little bit of hesitation that they might be headed down that Dodgers path? Might they need to kind of reevaluate and look at things kind of for the short term as opposed to the long term?
The Braves, in my opinion, just need to figure out how to win after getting a bye in the first round of the playoffs. And it is a thing that I don't love in baseball. I don't think when you play 162 games and pretty much 108, 170, 180 days, I don't think having a week off is good. It's good to help set up your rotation. It's good to get Strider and Freed going in games one and two of the playoffs. But it really does affect your offense. And Snitker's been upfront and honest about that of, hey, you know, year one that the rules changed and this happened was 2 years ago. They lost to the Phillies in the first round. Their offense went cold. Year two, he said, okay, we're gonna change it up. We're gonna have full-blown inner squads. We're gonna allow fans into the stands. We're gonna treat this like they're normal games. But the problem is they're not. And you're not going against your stud pitchers, and they're not normal games, and it's not the same environment. And then guess what? They lose again in the first round to the Phillies. So for me, the Braves, yes, they won it in 21. They need to figure out how to win after that bye. I'm not yet ready to write them off in terms of being able to win in the playoffs. I think they're super talented. I think they're a great baseball team. They're a team that really does need to figure out that bye.
How important is Chris Sale to the success this year? And can he return to being what he was? I think it's like 5 years now where we saw the Chris Sale for about 7-8 years that was super dominant.
I think Chris Sale is a major factor for them come October. I think in the regular season with the rotation, I can make the argument right now that the Atlanta Braves have the best rotation in baseball. Spencer Strider, Max Fried could both win a Cy Young Award. Charlie Morton seems to get better with age and seems to be a guy that's just going to go out every fifth day and take the ball, and he's going to throw his curveball, and it's going to be nasty. And to have him as a number three starter is huge for them. And then they have some depth in the rotation. So I know they made a bunch of really weird trades, in my opinion, at the beginning of this offseason. But to get Chris Sale, I don't think it's vital to their regular season success. But if they can have him be any shell of what he used to be, his stuff is there, right? It's not a stuff problem for Chris Sale. It's a staying healthy problem. So if he can stay healthy, that just makes them so dynamic come the playoffs. And that's where I think it's huge for them. But they can still win the regular season without him.
You mentioned Juan Soto, AL MVP. NL MVP, any thoughts?
Yeah, so I actually have I have a guy out with the Padres this year, Juan Soto's former team. I think I think Fernando Tatis Jr. is a really solid pick here. I think I believe it's right around plus 1,000 for Tatis to win. This is a guy that does it all. Can hit for power, can hit you between 40 and 50 homers, can steal 40, 50 bases, can play a platinum glove right field when being out there for one season in his career and his life wins a platinum glove. He really does do it all. And he comes back last year amidst a lot of scrutiny, finishes his suspension, comes back, is very up and down. But before that suspension, he was unbelievable and his career just started taking off. It's important to remember how young that he is. It's also important to remember that Fernando Tatis never took a substance to improve his baseball abilities. He took it to try and come back quicker from an injury. So let's not say without these substances, how good can Fernando Tatis Jr. be? We know how good he can be. Now he's going to have a full season, a full spring training, and I think he's going to put together a fantastic season.
The Padres are interesting as well, just because with the moves that they did make in like they're kind of it seems like they're kind of reinventing themselves as well, and maybe putting more pieces together rather than the big names and trying to like build a team and like going with Jackson Merrill now probably going to be the everyday starter there. Like
Yep.
He's an impact rookie as well.
I love Jackson Merrill. I have him winning the rookie of the year. I love his at-bats. I love the way he played in the Seoul series. I love that he moved to center field. I love the poise that he has from the left side of the plate. He has the approach of a 10-year vet at the plate. It really is fun to watch, and he's got some pop as well. You're right. The loss of Juan Soto never helps the team, and I don't think I'd look at the Padres and say on opening day that their roster is as good as it was last year. It's different, and it might be a tick back, but it didn't work last year. They should have been a playoff team. It didn't work. I think this team can get into the playoffs. I think they're that good. I think the Dylan Cease addition was huge. Again, same sort of thing when it comes to what we were talking about with Cy Young on the other side. Stuff. Dylan Cease has the stuff. His ERA and his win-loss record. Chicago was a nightmare. He got out of Chicago. His stuff will play in San Diego. He's going to be really good. They've revamped their bullpen. The Padres can be good this year.
Looking big picture here, now that we previewed mostly every team, what's your favorite MLB title odds? Now, there's obviously the favorites, Braves, Dodgers, but is there anyone sort of lower that you put some money on?
I think there's some good value in the Seattle Mariners. I really do. We've talked a good bit throughout this show about the blueprint to win in October. Same sort of thing with what Bear said about the Giants. The Mariners have that, right? That rotation that you can throw 3-4 studs out there at any team you're going to play. You have Julio in the lineup who could win an MVP award this year. You have Cal Raleigh who can run into a ball at any given second. You add Jorge Polanco to that lineup. I'm not going to sit here and say that I love the Seattle Mariners lineup. I'm not. But they're a team that if they can get into the playoffs with that rotation, that bullpen, and some studs on offense, a couple of them, I do think that they're a team that there is some value on them winning the World Series this year.
And ultimately your World Series pick is?
My World Series pick this year is the Philadelphia Phillies over the Baltimore Orioles. I think the Phillies, I think they're extremely talented. I think with those guys in the lineup, you're now going to get a full healthy season of Bryce Harper. I think you're going to get a full healthy season of Trey Turner, and not just the first half Trey Turner we saw last year. It's going to be back to Trey Turner being what he is. Zach Wheeler in that rotation. Aaron Nola is a great playoff pitcher. Ranger Suarez in that rotation. I really do like them. It's a tough place to win. They just ran into a Diamondbacks team last year that all they had to do was win one game going back to Citizens Bank Park. Everyone in the world thought this series is over. The Diamondbacks were just a team of destiny last year coming out of the National League, and there's no way to put that. The Phillies have the Braves recipe in the National League playoffs. The Phillies can beat the Dodgers because everybody can beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. The Phillies have a great path, I think, to the world. The National League is tough, but they are really, really good. On the American League side, I do like the Orioles to get there. I think that addition of Corbin Burns was huge. Having Burns, Bradish, and Grayson Rodriguez in the playoffs is going to be so much fun to watch.
Is there a home field advantage in baseball? Because you mentioned Philly. Anytime you watch a game in Philly, it looks insane at the ballpark. Is there like an advantage for teams to host 4 games out of 7?
Yes. Yeah. But there's a select few that I think. Because you can look at the Astros and see what they've done in the playoffs over the last few years, and they're not able to win a home game when it really matters. But there's a select few that really do. I had Jonathan India on Flipping Bats a couple weeks ago, and I asked him what his least favorite stadium to play in is, and I'd say 75-80% of people that I have on say the Oakland Coliseum for obvious reasons. But he said Citizens Bank Park because he struggles to play there. The fans really get to him. He was very open and honest about that, and I think that's similar across the board. I don't think visiting teams like going in there to play. It gets so loud. And I think the big benefit, especially with baseball, it's once an offense gets rolling, it's a snowball effect, right? So it might not necessarily be the crowd getting to the opposing team. It's the crowd allowing that snowball to start a little bit bigger and get rolling a little bit faster. And offenses really eat that up.
He had me worried for a second. I thought you were going to say that he said his least favorite ballpark to play in was the Great American Ballpark. So I was getting a little concerned with where you were, where you were headed there. But that place should have some juice this year. And look, if you're right about Phillies Orioles, I know a whole Fox Sports family will be extremely happy and satisfied and excited about that for a World Series. Nice little short commute up and down 95 and to really energetic and exciting young team. So, Ben, appreciate you. Make sure you check out Flipping Bats. Baseball season is upon us, so we're all happy here.
Of course. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bear, it was awesome to have Ben on with us to preview baseball. These sports, man, they sneak up on you, right? You end football season, you get to March Madness, you end the NBA season, and boom, here's baseball. So good to catch up with Ben there. Hope you guys got some nuggets. And we do have baseball best bets, Bear. So you lead us off. What do you got?
I got two for you. I'm so excited about baseball season. Full disclosure, I am a Yankees fan. I have already played under 93.5 wins for the Yankees. I got that literally like the day before Gerrit Cole, the injury news came out. So I'm sitting on 93.5 under, and I went back and I'd still bet under 91.5. Like the Yankees are getting nothing out of Gerrit Cole this year. By all indications, like everyone who is talked about this knows he's headed towards surgery, or at least feels that that's the path this is going down. You got Aaron Judge, who is already talked about, like his toe is going to be something that he needs to have maintenance for basically throughout his career. So you know he's going to be built into to sit a couple of days. Kenjarcola Stanton, like he had a .190 last year. Like what are you going to get out of him? Sure, he's been great in the spring, but I think this team, despite the addition of Soto and some other moves that they made, LeMahieu's on the DL now to start the year. This is still a team that I don't think threatens the Orioles in the East. I think if they win 90 games, I think it'll be a big surprise. So under 91.5 wins for the Yankees is best bet number one. And then best bet number two is under 94.5 RBIs for Mike Trout. We talked a little bit about how that Angels team isn't going to be very good this year. No Ohtani in the lineup. Mike Trout's a guy who he's been dealing with a wrist injury last year. He's been hurt a lot lately. Like, if no one can get on base in that lineup, how is he driving in runs outside of the solo home run here or there? So if you had to bet like either the home run total under or the RBI total under, I'm under 94.5 ribbies for Mike Trout. I think it would be a major accomplishment if he went over that number this year.
I love how you just spite bet your own team. I love it so much. I did it last year too. Win total for a team I liked.
I did it last year too, and all throughout the regular season, when they were pulling those like one run games out of their, you know what, and I'm like, Yankees to miss the playoffs is available at +165. It did. The Yankees to miss the playoffs still available at +140, and it wound up being an easy winner, which was great.
You didn't tell me that to wager on that, so I don't know who.
You need to follow me on Twitter.
I do follow you on Twitter. All right, my best bet is the Rockies under 16.5 wins. Bear, you know this. In each league, there's going to be one team who's dreadful, right? And every year was one in the AL, one in the NL, and they're under 60 wins. Last year, the A's, I think, had 50. The Rockies had 59. The Rockies probably got worse off a roster last year that was not very good. They couldn't hit the ball, couldn't pitch, made no improvements. And more importantly, Bear, is the improvements made by the Giants, by the Dodgers, the Padres, by the Diamondbacks. Like, everyone in the division got better. The Rockies got worse. They're going to be the punching bag of the NL. So I have them under 16.5 wins.
Yeah, I think the Rockies have one of the worst pitching staffs ever assembled in terms of like strikeout percentage or so. And if you're in that ballpark and you can't strike out pitchers and your pitchers who, if you're pitching to balls in play,
yeah,
maybe you could be in that Rockies rotation there. You're a former
pitcher. Yeah, I'll get my son on the bump there. He's learning how to pitch now in Little League. He can't be much worse, right? So the Rockies are going to be – I think they might have the worst record worse than the A's. But look, Ben brought up a good point about the A's morale, man. When you have 1,000 fans, 2,000 fans at your games, and I know that we're professionals and we're supposed to play hard no matter what, and they do, but when you have 81 home games, Bear, and you might get, what, 150,000 fans for the season, 200,000 fans, it's hard to play hard. It's hard to play hard each week. Excuse me, each night you have a home game and no one's in your ballpark. So that's a big problem for the A's. The Rockies don't have that problem. Fans show up in Colorado. They might not this year. It's a different environment there, as we know. So I think the Rockies might have the worst record in baseball.
Yeah, certainly. I think there are a lot of people who are seeing the ball in that direction as well. So hopefully you, me, Ben, hopefully we saw the ball and got some winning wagers for the baseball season. Appreciate everybody for listening. Make sure you download wherever you get your podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Check us out on the YouTube show. For Bear, it's me. For Jeff, for Ben, another Bad Bets podcast in the books. And remember, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.